From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 5th day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with all the agricultural news for the day. And at the end of the show, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Along the way, I'll tell you about a set of farm doc meetings to be held around the state in December. The Ag Economist and I will be on the road the week before Christmas with the annual Illinois Ag Economic Summits. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December wheat at $5.37 and a quarter, down 35 and a quarter for the day. The March contract at $5.58, 35 and a quarter lower as well, and the May futures were 35.5 cents lower to settle at $5.71 and three quarters. In Kansas City, December hard red winter wheat at $5.76 and three quarters, down 32 and one quarter. December corn futures in Chicago, $3.90 and a quarter, 22 and three quarters lower. March at $4.08, down 22 and 3 quarters, and the May down 22 and a half cents at 420 and a quarter. July 432, down 22 and a half cents. November soybeans down 54 and 3 quarters cents today, $8.94 and 3 quarters the settlement price. Once again, the November beans down 54 and 3 quarters. The January at 904 were down 55. The March at 916 down 55 as well. And the May contract down 55 cents at 927 and 3 quarters in the soybean pit. December soybean meal at $265 and even, we're down $12.80 a ton, and December bean oil $1.95 lower at $34.02 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures from the Mercantile Exchange livestock side at $94.27.5, 42.5 cents higher. February at $94.45, down 52.5. Nove feeder cattle at $165, or rather $100.65, 15 cents higher, and December lean hogs at $54.47.5. Up a nickel on the afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. December crude oil futures at $65.60 a barrel, down $4.93, but the Januarys are up $6.60 at this hour at $71.19. November ethanol, 3 6/10 higher at $187.9. Natural gas trading $7.27. And a tenth up 5 2/10 in the nearby. December gasoline for the RBOB at 143 5/10, 9 7/10 lower in the heating oil. December contract, this is diesel fuel, down 9 8/10 at 206 3/10. December propane, 88 6/10 of a cent, just about unchanged on the day. And gold futures at $741.30 an ounce are currently trading $14.70 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on the afternoon currently stands at 93.42. That's just about 283 points lower for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 84.58 is down 0.03 for the day. Goldman Sachs at 442.51 is down 24.74. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says tonight in western Illinois, should become cloudy, showers, a few thunderstorms arriving well after midnight. Elsewhere in Illinois, partly cloudy, in Indiana clear to partly cloudy, lows ranging from 46 in eastern Indiana to 56 in western Illinois. Tomorrow, Ed says, in Illinois, cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere in Illinois, becoming cloudy, showers and thunderstorms arriving. In western Indiana, should be increasing in cloudiness with showers and thunderstorms arriving during the afternoon tomorrow. In eastern Indiana, mostly sunny there and warm. Highs will range from 60 in northwestern Illinois to 78 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Thank you.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
On a Wednesday afternoon, time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us by phone today. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What a bright and sunshiny day. Farmers are doing all kinds of work. I was out on my way to Cayberry, which is north of Champaign-Urbana and north, just a bit north of Gilman and to the back to the west, and it was beautiful. Farmers were in the field doing a little fall tillage, a few folks shucking some corn. I saw a combine bringing in soybean even today, and a little anhydrous ammonia going on, but that's going to stop pretty shortly in the next 24 hours, I would think.
The private weather forecasters are predicting some very ornery weather. If you have a lot of in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, parts of Iowa, and the rest of the area, it's pretty tranquil, but they are forecasting snow, wind, and a lot of it up in that area. And I called an interesting broker for ADM Investors in North Dakota, and he said, you know, we have a lot of corn out in the field, 70-80%, and about that much beans. So it's the ground's wet, and there's going to be some blizzard conditions up there, and 4 inches of snow on soybeans is not pretty. And the wind is a big harvester of that crop as well.
Yeah, so we should have some trouble with the beans, maybe even with the corn. We get it wet again this late in the season. That may cause some problems for the end of the harvest season. Yet we have much lower commodity markets today. What'd you make of that marketplace?
Well, we are seeing certain signs of stability in the marketplace, even though today was a sell-off day. Crude oil, we are seeing certain signs that the OPEC is cutting oil production, and we are starting to see signs that crude oil could stay above $65 a barrel. We are seeing the interest rate market's behaving better, and of course the dollar seems to be stabilizing here. We just elected a new president, a tip of the hat to the new president on his election. And one of the things that we heard yesterday afternoon after yesterday's major market rally in the commodities and stock market, I noticed Cramer did say it's time to take some of the profits off the table from the big rally we have seen in recent weeks in the stock market, and I think that there was that feeling as well. You know, we have we do think that the market probably sold off more than it should have, but it sold off. We had all the private estimates out. As you mentioned, harvest is wrapping up, and let's face it, there's no major long positions, but I'm sure commodity funds liquidated, and that helped accelerate the sell-off today.
So we had buy the rumor, sell the fact. The rumor, of course, I guess in the marketplace in this case, according to Cramer, would have been that Barack Obama would be the president of the United States. That's come to the fruition, and sell the fact. So she went down today. But where do we go from here?
Yeah. Well, I think there's, at this price level in corn, I don't think there's a big interest in putting more fertilizer on the ground to plant a lot more acres of corn. Price of corn is fairly cheap. We anticipate farmers getting a big insurance check. We do anticipate Brazil planting less beans with fertilizer on it, and at the same time they've had some general feeling that their bean crop's not going to be larger. The demand should pick up in that commodity, and if crude oil stays above $65 or $70 a barrel, that should get the ethanol industry back in shape. Some major grain companies have reported some excellent earnings. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that means they can help repair ethanol, get the exports going, and help the feed industry get back on their feet. And I think that those things will come as we see a stock market, you know, that stays above 9,000 and maybe goes to 10,000 over the next 10 days to 2 weeks.
Well, on this ethanol note, of course, USDA is due out with its November crop production reports. Those should take a look at ethanol consumption in the United States and what prediction will be for that. Given where Verisun is at this point, do you think ethanol usage will be cut back because capacity might not be in play?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, and my general impression is that I think that the new administration, my friends down at Lincoln Land Energy said he was a very gracious visitor to their plant, and he went through it. He saw local employees getting a good wage and looking at the corn that was being dumped by farmer producers in that area and saw the value-added nature of the business. They did ask him before he leave if he supported ethanol, and there was a thumbs up. So, you know, I think that that's the impression we're seeing, and also we hope that that is going to be part of the process. Yes, there is some major problems out there, but the marketplace with credit and with under the right incentives, ethanol should boom, and I don't think it brought us to the party, Todd, and I hope it'll at least keep us celebrating here in the Midwest. And I don't sense that we're going to overproduce corn next year, and if demand stays and stabilizes with an improving world economy, I think that we will see times better. The farmer's not going to panic and sell a lot of cheap corn. He's learned his lesson from past years, and as a result of that, I don't think he's going to overproduce, and we will grow our demand back, both in feed and ethanol.
Hey, one other question before I let you go. Do you have a pulse on demand for land at this point? Have there been sales that you've heard about?
The land is very strong demand, and we have seen some cases where it's sold off a little bit, but at the same time, we've seen cases where we've seen new records, and I would say, that, in my opinion, the land market's very healthy commodity at this time.
Okay, anything else to add before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Paul had to say again, you can certainly do that. It's easy. Just visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of MP3 files you can listen to directly from the website. Just scroll down the page and click on whatever you want. Should play. Or you can sign up to have it delivered to you as a podcast. There's a podcast tab and easy-to-use directions on how to have these programs delivered right to your computer each and every day as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. One other note. I was up near Kayberry in the town of Stell earlier today. I was talking with Harry Carr, who is a niche market farmer there and an organic producer of ducks and lamb and chickens. And I want to thank he and the folks at Mint Creek Farms for hosting us as we went out this morning to talk a little bit about an organization called FamilyFarmed.org and an expo that they'll have in Chicago in the next couple of weeks. So our thanks go out to Harry Carr and the Mint Creek Farms for hosting us this morning. And we did make it back on time to do the programs this afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Dave Dickey is here now. He has a complete update of the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, trade analysts say that President-elect Barack Obama is expected to make preserving jobs and restoring U.S. economic health the focus of his trade policy after promising to get tough on China and renegotiate trade pacts. Obama is not expected to launch any new trade negotiations in his first year of office or to push for a rapid conclusion to the long-running Doha round of world trade talks. Obama is expected to press Congress for quick action to end tax breaks that he says encourages U.S. companies to move manufacturing jobs overseas, a theme echoed by many Democrats running for Congress this year. Meanwhile, speculation about possible cabinet secretaries has begun, and several names are coming up for agriculture secretary in Obama's cabinet. Major names being mentioned often more than once include Tom Bias, president of the National Farmers Union. He played a significant role in several major changes in the Farm Bill, including the addition of a permanent disaster program. Tom Vilsack, former governor of Iowa. Vilsack worked aggressively on renewable energy as governor and the bioeconomy. Marshall Matz, Obama's top agricultural advisor. Matz is a nutritional expert who has been heavily involved in anti-hunger efforts. Charles Stenholm, former top Democrat on the House Agriculture Committee, and House Agriculture Committee current chairman Colin Peterson. The General Accountability Office says the government is not doing enough to expedite drilling in federal waters and on public lands. In a review of the 55,000 federal oil and gas leases issued to energy companies by the Interior Department from 1987 to 1996, the GAO found that the vast majority expired without being drilled, and an even smaller amount actually produced oil and natural gas. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this program and other agricultural programming that you can listen to directly from the website, or sign up to have it delivered to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. And while you're there, don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Dave Dickey does a great job talking about and wrapping up the week's news in the marketplace. Just hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page. Now up next, speaking of marketing, the Ag Economist at Illinois will hit the road in December for their annual Farm Summit meetings. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits will be held in four cities across the state the third week of December. As Gary Schnittke explains, the day-long meetings will take on a range of important farm econ topics.
We'll have Daryl Good talking about market outlook, Dale Latz about the farm income situation. I'll be talking about cost increases and what that does to crop rotations, or should we see more corn or less corn next year. Paul Ellinger will be talking about the financial situation and what all of this that's happening now might mean to agriculture. Scott Irwin will be talking about marketing styles and what we should be doing with crop insurance.
Schnittke says there will be a couple of other topics on the agenda, too. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits are scheduled for the 16th of December in Mount Vernon, the 17th in Bloomington, the 18th of December in Galesburg, and December the 19th in Sycamore. The meeting should kick off at about 9 a.m. and wrap up around 3 p.m. A detailed agenda and cost will soon be posted to the FarmDoc website, but it'd be good to get the meetings into your schedule today. Again, they are December the 16th in Mount Vernon, December 17th in Bloomington, December the 18th in Galesburg, December the 19th in Sycamore. Registration for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits opens soon. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Afternoon, John.
Farmers all done there?
I'd say we had the last 20% of the crop getting done, and with probably the crop coming out of maybe another 3 to 4% each day, here before the rains tomorrow, we'll have the vast majority of guys getting done, and just a few guys, probably the larger guys, will have some acres, and you know, after the rain here, event here this weekend, they should be able to get done by middle of next weekend.
Have you taken a big macro look at how basis has been moving across the entirety of the system? So what the differentiations might be between what's happening down at the Gulf and how the river basis is, and whose basis are the best in the local regions and processors, and how have things been panning out over the last week or so?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we're right between where basis has been coming to us. The river basis has been, you know, strengthening here, even though barge freight, you know, making some pretty good highs here. And then the eastern belt with the yield not quite what they wanted to, and just the lack of farm movement. The eastern processors here in eastern Indiana and western Ohio have been hungry for corn. You know, they've been paying overs here for the last 10 days to 2 weeks. So that has affected us, and we've had to probably make our basis or strengthen here about 10 to 15 cents just in the last 10 days also because of that. Okay. And also fighting for the last 20% of the bushels out there.
Yeah, have farmers been willing to sell at the overs, or are they still willing to store it?
They'll let it go on basis. But for the most part, they're not really willing to lock in any new purchases on the board. They'll get rid of it just on basis and leave themselves open to price that later on any type of rally that we might see here.
Now, what do you think about basis over time as we go through the winter, given that we didn't really sink during the fall time? We kept pretty strong, and will that continue all winter long, or does it mean we'll have a weaker basis at some point?
My opinion is I think we're going to see these banks' basis keep strengthening, especially if we don't see any type of rally or significant rally in the board. Guys have welded their bins shut, put stamps on it, you know, put wax stamps on there. They're not going to open those bins unless they absolutely have to for cash flow income, or, you know, they maybe see a five in front of the cash price. So with that said, I just don't see guys letting go of stuff willingly unless basis is just absolutely strong, you know, that they entices them to move something.
And then if you could tell me, and I don't know how much you can tell me about this, but what's the discussion inside the Andersons about Verisun and the impact that its Chapter 11 bankruptcy decision might have on the industry?
Yeah, it's something that's, I think, more to come. Some of these players that maybe did not lock in their grind when margins were decent here 6 months, a year ago, are probably going to drop by the wayside, and then also the smaller plants who don't have access to the capital to run on these razor-thin margins here for the short term probably also going to feel the credit crunch. So I mean, it's something that weighs on our mind. We're at least our mentality is here at the Andersons, at least though, is when we saw margins even a year to two out, we would go ahead and lock those in and at least cover us at least a little bit, you know, to go ahead and lock that in.
And very quickly, does that mean decreased capacity because those plants are closed, or just delayed because they might go offline for a while, or not anything in the terms of capacity?
I think it's going to be a little both. I think it's going to be decreased capacity at first to see if margins return, and if margins don't return, I think those plants will probably sit idle for the near future until either someone that wants to speculate on the market comes in and buys them up, or, you know, just until margins come back.
And very quickly, your bids for the day?
Corn is going to be $3.75, and beans is going to be $8.60 in the heaven.
Oh, Matt, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's located at their Delphi Climbers facility in Indiana. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated about the weather. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The names of possible successors to Barack Obama to the U.S. Senate have been discussed for several weeks, and that includes a mentor of his, retiring Illinois Senate President Emil Jones. But Governor Rod Blagojevich could appoint nearly anyone to replace Obama. Other possible names that have surfaced include Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr., and Illinois Veterans Affairs Director Tammy Duckworth. Whoever is appointed will fill out the remainder of Obama's six-year term, While the law sets no timetable, the appointment is likely before the 111th Congress begins on January 3rd. For the Illinois Senate, it wasn't an election for change. Yesterday ended with Democrats having the same 37-22 lead over Republicans that they've had for 2 years. The narrow loss by Benton Republican Ken Brzezinski and his challenge of Democratic Senator Gary Forby of Benton ensured that outcome. Brzezinski conceded today. That keeps intact the Senate Democrats' bare minimum supermajority, meaning they don't need GOP help to override a governor's veto or enact special legislation if they all vote alike. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels says his reelection yesterday means not only accepting change but being prepared to lead it for the rest of the country. The incumbent experienced a landslide victory over Democrat Jill Long Thompson, but Democrats kept control of the Indiana House when a late count of absentee ballots unseated Republican Tim Harris of Marion. The District 31 victory by Democratic challenger Joe Pearson gave Democrats a two-seat advantage. And in the last unresolved race for the state's General Assembly, incumbent Democrat Scott Reske defeated Republican challenger Kelly Gaskell for the seat representing District 37. Construction has begun on the $72 million building at the University of Illinois that will house a new supercomputer expected to be the fastest in the world. Rob Pennington, deputy director of the U of I's National Center for Supercomputing Applications, says the building should be finished in 2010. The computer known as Blue Water should be running in 2011. The university is working with IBM on the project. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Wednesday afternoon. Time to talk with Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, about the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the forecast for the Midwest.
Well, it looks like we're going downhill here for a little while. Our balmy weather of the past few days and the dry conditions are all about to abate. We've got a pretty good storm system starting to wrap up in the northern plains. That's a long ways from here, but it does look like it's headed in our direction. We'll have strong winds the rest of this afternoon. And overnight tonight, we'll encounter some showers and thunderstorms moving across the Mississippi River, certainly by the time we get to about midday tomorrow. And those showers and storms will move eastward across the remainder of the Midwest as we go on into tomorrow night and into Friday morning. Most of the nasty weather is going to be confined to the northern half of the plains and in the northwestern Corn Belt. A lot of rain and rain changing to snow will occur up there. The rains that occur in the eastern Midwest will probably be fairly brief in duration, probably not lasting more than, maybe a couple of hours, and then it will clear off again for a brief period of time, and then the upper-level low will drift across the region. We'll have some showers of rain and snow possible as we go through the bay Friday and into Saturday. Be kind of breezy then as well, and temperatures will be on the downside. We do think that we'll see a couple of days of sunshine during the late weekend, and then we'll encounter a new storm system that will come northeast out of Arkansas. That one will carry a lot more precipitation into the eastern Midwest. We may see a little bit of rain and snow both. Right now, the latest model data is trying to keep that storm to the south of us, but I do think it has a better potential moving across the heart of the eastern Midwest as we get into Monday and Tuesday.
I suppose we should be pretty worried about the western and northwestern part of the Corn Belt, as they're pretty far behind, and this is going to just put another nail in that coffin out there.
That's right. In fact, I was talking to some people up there this morning, and indeed the level of concern is pretty high. The storm system that's going to be occurring up there is going to produce some 1 to 2.5 inch amounts of moisture, and some of the snow accumulations in parts of North Dakota and north central South Dakota will probably get into the 12 to 20 inch range, some pretty impressive stuff, and some blizzard conditions. We may have some lodging of the corn crop in eastern North Dakota after we get a bunch of rain to fall there. So, yeah, there's some issues going on in the far northwest, and it is a concern. As we go a little bit deeper into the forecast period, I think we will see a little bit of an improvement up there, but it's going to take a while for those fields to dry back down again.
Yeah, dry back down, or will we get cold enough to freeze up the field? And it doesn't sound like that's really going to happen either.
Well, they are going to get cold. Probably have a couple of days where the morning lows will be in the teens and highs will be in the 30s, so they may be able to get a little bit of work done, but there's probably going to be some standing water around still at that point, even though it's going to freeze at night. The longer-range outlook does not keep the cold air around for quite long enough, so they're probably going to be fighting that for a while.
And turn your attention to South America quickly.
Well, it still looks like Brazil is going to shift gears now. The northern parts of Brazil's crop country has been quite dry and very warm to hot in recent weeks, and we're going to continue that for another day or two. But starting this weekend, we'll start bringing on the shower and thunderstorm activity and bring those temperatures back into a seasonal range. It should be a much improved outlook for their planting progress. And also in Argentina, we're still looking at some erratic rainfall, but over the next week to 10 days, we'll start increasing that precipitation just a little bit as well.
Thanks much, Drew.
Have a great day.
You too, Drew. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Visit our website if you can at willag.org. And as always, have a safe harvest season. I'm Todd Gleason.